Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to your place of Bible study, your place of prayer, acceptance, compassion, love, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We now ask that you would join us with our devotion. We'll have a song, scripture, and prayer. We'll have a song by, we'll have a song by June Rochelle, and we will have a scripture by Dr. Nooks, and I will give the prayer. Amen.
Oh.
worship his name.
Amen. Our text is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Keep sound wisdom and discretion.
Amen. God, we come before you tonight, and we are just so grateful to be able to be alive, to come to assemble. We're just asking you today that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct us, to give us the type of wisdom we need to understand, we need to live by. As we come before you, Lord, studying your word, seeking your face, we ask that you continue to teach us how to have mercy and to be honest. Teach us, O God, to realize that we don't know enough, and then to walk, O God, in your wisdom and understanding, and mostly, Lord, to grant us the wisdom to trust you enough to rest, to sleep. So as we come before you, we submit all these things that we're seeking to understand and asking that you would touch us in a special place, that you would open our spiritual eyes so that we can have clear understanding, that you would touch each person on the line tonight who's coming to share your word, and then you would open the hearts and the eyes of in the ears of your listeners, that they too might glean the very thing, that the morsels that you have for them to partake. We ask you the blessings now. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,
amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place again of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. This month, as we said, we're talking about wisdom to live by, and our instructor is Dr. James A. Nooks. So, Dr. Nooks, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Our focus this month has been on wisdom, walking in wisdom. And we want to look at ourselves. We're trying to look at ourselves. The law and prophecies were given for large numbers of people, for the land, for the people. Wisdom is given to the individual, but we believe wise people can help to make a nation wise and can help to shape a nation and a people, a community. And we're studying this evening about getting a sound night's sleep. And many of us struggle in that area, and we find ourselves having difficulty in sleeping, and pharmaceutical companies make a whole lot of money off of people that can't sleep. But our text tells us that we ought to have sweet sleep, and we should not be afraid when we lie down and go to sleep. So we want to look at this issue of sleep tonight, and grant me the wisdom to get a good night's sleep. So I'd like for us to read our text again, and perhaps in different versions. But first of all, who do we have on the line that is able to read tonight? I know we have Dr. Susie.
Brett.
Who?
Brett.
Brett.
Okay, we have Brett. Okay. Well, I wonder if we can read again Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. And Brett, what version do you have?
I got the New International Version.
Okay. Dr. Zuzi, can you get maybe something from the Message?
I will try to pull that up, but probably not for the first reading. It'll take me a second to get
okay.
that up.
Okay, I can get that from the Message.
Okay.
Okay, Brett, you want to read that for us?
Sure. My son did not let... Now, you want the 21st through the 26th, right?
Right.
Okay.
Proverbs 3, 21 through 26.
Right.
I'm sorry.
My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and assertion. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace, your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or run of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. That is Proverbs 3, 21 through 26.
Amen. And then the message, it says, dear friend, guard clear thinking and common sense with your life. Don't for a minute lose sight of them. They'll keep your soul alive and well. They'll keep you fit and attractive. You'll travel safely. You'll neither tire nor trip. You'll take afternoon naps without a worry. You'll enjoy a good night's sleep. No need to panic over alarms and surprises or predictions that doomsday's just around the corner. Because God will be right there with you. He'll keep you safe and sound. Doesn't that sound good?
Amen. Yes, it does.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
Amen. Has anybody...
No, Dr. Ness, there's something special when you think about being kept safe and sound in the world that we live in today and all the stuff that's going on, to know that we can be safe and sound is it's a major relief.
Amen. Amen. Our text refers to our sleep being sweet and not being afraid. Those two subjects, I think, are really worth us thinking about tonight. And just like to ask the general question, has there been a time in your life when you've had difficulty going to sleep?
That's funny. Absolutely, Dr. Nix. It's more like the other time when I don't. I have problems all the time going to sleep. It gets worse as I get older.
Amen.
This is Britt.
And
I've had the same.
Go ahead, Britt.
Yeah, I've had the same problem too. Usually, though, when I'm not able to sleep really good, that means that I just have this feeling that something's not going right with either a relative or a friend. And usually within 24 to 48 hours, I find out what the problem is.
And after you found out what the problem was, then you were able to sleep okay for a while anyway,
yes.
Huh?
Well, a lot of times it's where somebody needed some advice about a problem or if they were close here in Indianapolis, then I could go over to them and aid them in whatever they needed. But yes, once that is out of the way, hey, sleep like a baby.
All right. Our text also talks about being afraid when we go to sleep. And I think the implication is that fears bother us when we're trying to get rest. And Solomon is trying to teach his son that they should not have fear like that should disturb their sleep. Do you believe that fears, first of all, for our listeners, what are some fears that we might be engaged in on a regular basis that might disturb our sleep? Dr. Susie, what fears might be bothering us as we try to get some sleep?
Well, this and these statements that I'm going to make don't have to do with You know, I would like to make statements removed from having trust and faith in God, but just a normal type of person sleep that they would have. I would like to address that issue. For example, people have trouble sleeping if they've moved into a different neighborhood and they don't know the area in which they're living, and they haven't gotten used to the people in their community or their environment. You can have fear if you're not sure about the house that you're in. Does it have mold? Is it a safe place to live in? Is it, about the facility itself, the housing itself? You can have fear because life is going on challenging and you can't let go of what happened during the day, and you're constantly thinking about those things. Or children have fear because they think about monsters or what might be under the bed, or maybe they watched a scary movie or heard about a scary movie, so they're thinking about that. So they can't sleep because of those things that go bump in the night. We can have fear if we're getting ready to go into war, or we don't feel comfortable that our country is at rest. We can have fear worrying about the state of the, racism, sexism, and, the KKKs for people of color and Jews and Catholics and those kind of things if you're in an area that's, very strongly populated by they call it the alt-right. So, people can have ultimate numbers of fears. But, of course, we know, those of us who are believers, that the Lord is asking and trying to teach us to lean and depend on God, to trust God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Britt.
Yes.
I think some of the most common fears that most people and couples have is concerning money. Do we have enough money to pay our bills? Okay.
Yes.
Your job's laying off people, so we don't know if you're going to be one of those laying off. So what do we do if that happens? People that are relatives or friends that are sick, we feel like that we need to be there, but we can't because we have other obligations, and that gives us a fear that we may not be there when they really need us. The other thing is just the unknown. The unknown keeps us in fear because we don't know what's going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm like Dr. Susie. If it's something that I can change, I'll change. If I can't do anything about it, I pray about it and leave it with the Lord. Comfort, and that way I'm able to sleep and I don't have to worry about it.
Amen. Amen. And that comes with growth, doesn't it? I mean, you don't just all of a sudden get to that point. I think it takes some time. And then even when we grow, I think we slip back one time. There's things that bother us. I am of the opinion that Satan is busy warring against us and messing with our minds. And he knows what it is that we're afraid of. Sometimes we're afraid of people. I mean, we're afraid of failure. I mean, whatever it is, we're afraid that somebody might pick us for something and we're not ready for it. It's all kinds of things that we can be afraid of. And Ephesians 6, says that we aren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but against enemies, evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we battle against evil spirits, and I believe that Satan messes with our minds, keeps us awake. And Solomon is trying to teach his sons that they should have sweet sleep. And I believe that God is trying to teach us that also. I like when you said, Brother Brett, that you try to see things that you can perhaps changed, and you try to do what you can, and if you can't, you can let it go. A lot of
there
us can't let things go.
I understand. That took me tearing myself down and then putting me back together. And in doing so, I had to ask myself, what is it that you can do? I mean, if I worry about bills, I don't have to worry about it if I got a job. Okay? So if it's something that I can change, I'll change it. I'll take care of it. I'll do whatever that needs to be done. But if it's something that's not in my power and I can't do anything about it, then I just leave it with God and let the best thing to happen for me, because, hey, once you let go and let God, everything comes out the way it's supposed to.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 6, verses 24-33. And we're focusing on this, God grant me to have a good night's sleep. And we want our brothers and sisters out there that are listening in to be able to have a good night's sleep. And let me hear something what Jesus has to say about this. And Matthew 6, 24-33.
Matthew 24-33? I can read that?
Yes.
I can read it from the NIV version. My logout won't let me sign in. So starting at 23?
24.
Okay. Actually, 25 is a therefore statement, and it tells you to go back whenever you have a therefore. And so,
24.
I know 24 is a separate section under the treasures in heaven, not under do not worry. So, starting at 24 is the end of another section. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? The 26th, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Through
33.
Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much less clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what is Jesus teaching us about worry? And I'm bringing about worry because that keeps us up at night and causes us to not sleep, get a good night's sleep. So what's Jesus teaching us about worry?
Telling us not to do it.
Amen.
And he tells us, don't do it because, you know, we're taken care of. He says, don't worry about it because God has everything under control.
Amen.
And he talks about the different reasons why, the different examples he gives. And he just says, you know, what we need to do is seek our relationship with God. Seek God first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So if everything is going on, We understand that if God is doing all these other things because of our relationship with God, we don't need to get caught up in it and worry. Because if we're seeking God first and God's kingdom, then we're all taken care of. And we don't have to worry because we got enough stuff to worry. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just deal with the things that are in
Amen.
Front of us. And I think that's really sound advice because as we've learned, as we've gotten older, we fully understand we don't control anything anyway. And,
Amen.
You know, if God never sleeps nor slumbers, why do we need to stay up?
Amen. So we're not to worry. And we look at Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. Rick, can you get that? We're trying to get some good night's sleep, y'all. So we're trying
you said
to.
Said Isaiah what?
To, Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. And it's
okay,
really
I got it in
on
the. Yeah, I got it in the NIV.
Okay.
Okay, it says, in that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvations, its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. And 4 says,
Amen.
Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal.
Amen. Amen. So God will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on God. So what happens that our minds are not in perfect peace? And this gets back again to the situation of our minds and Satan
yeah.
doing battleground on our minds. I mean, our minds are the battleground. And Romans
Amen.
12 talks about the fact that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when we lay down at night, or when we just try to nap, and all these things rush into our minds, that's Satan, I believe, playing a game with our minds. And there in Isaiah it says that, you know, God would keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on God. So often our minds
so
are not stayed on God. Yes.
So, Dr. Nix, it's clear to see God will keep us in perfect peace, but if you could kind of to give a little bit more clarity about where and how you see that, what's causing us not to have that perfect peace? How do we know what it is?
We have a hard time finding that perfect peace because we keep wanting to lean on our own understanding, and that's part of our foundational text, is that we should not be leaning on our own understanding, but we should be leaning on God for understanding. So Satan gets in our minds, and we keep trying to fix things and change things and make things conform to what we want them to be in our minds instead of letting them go and let God, our minds be stayed on God. This has to do with trust, trusting in God. And we say that we have faith, and faith in the Old Testament a lot of times is trust. But faith in God changes our outlook on life. If we believe that God really has control over this world and God is doing things for our favor and God loves us and wants us to only prosper, then it changes our perspective on life and worry. Jesus says, you know, why are you worrying about what you got on? God clothes the lilies of the field. Why are you worried about eating? God provides food. You know, why are you worried about money? Why are you worried about all kinds of things? And we just worry. And I don't think that the people in the world worry any more than the people in the church. And this gets to, you know, Jesus says of his disciples all the time, oh, ye of little faith. And I just imagine God is sitting there saying, people of little faith, and you're supposed to be my people. And it, for those that are listening in, if you have a relationship with God, it ought to change your ability to get a good night's sleep. And I bring up the concept of a good night's sleep just because we should not be worriers all the time. I know there are things that are going to cause us to be concerned. But Jesus says he came to give us peace. And with that, I think we can look at John 14, 25 through 31. John 14,
14, 25 through 31. I have John 14, 25 through 31. It says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold of me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Amen. Amen. So what does that teach us, Brett and Dr. Susie, about Jesus, about peace, about God, and about our ability to get a good night's sleep? We've been given some gifts by God, by Jesus.
Amen.
And I think sometimes we don't act like we have them.
There you go. Come on.
Jesus said that he was sending the Holy Spirit as our advocate, that the Holy Spirit would teach us. So we're also told in other scriptures that the Holy Spirit would be a comforter to us. And again, this gets to the issue of not being able to get a good night's sleep, because we need to be comforted. But we've been given the comforter. And I think sometimes we don't believe God. We don't have faith.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
I don't think we believe. Because if we did believe,
amen,
we would trust. We would be unfaltering in our faith. We would walk. And you know, Dr. Nix, it's really frustrating. Because I know the listeners out there and those of us who claim to walk with the Lord, you know, we say we believe, but oftentimes we begin to question and we don't walk in what we know. And because of that, if we truly believed, it would be like, well, if I stretched a wire across the Grand Canyon and God said, you know, I've got you, you know, would I be willing to get in the chair? Faith to me, you know, would be, and belief, is faith to me in action. So I would get in the chair or I would take my little pole and begin to walk across the wire. Faith may say I can do it, but belief would be that I would put the action to it and try to walk across because I believed it.
Amen.
So oftentimes I think we verbally say we have faith, but we're not willing to put the action behind what it is that we proclaim. And even though we think
Amen.
We do, I think we're weaker than we often say that think we are.
Amen.
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 This is Britt. I concur with Dr. Susie because a lot of times we say we're Christians, but we're not living that Christian life. And when you have to depend on God's word and only God's word, you'll find that the dividends come back to you in many different ways. It could be you can go to the supermarket and it could be during the holiday time, but when you get there, there's a parking spot close to the door. You don't have to park way out in the North 40. That's a blessing that God gives you. Or
Amen.
Your funds can be low, but somehow when you check it, you find out you got more money than you thought you had. See, God brings things to you, and you don't even know where it comes from. And it's the little things that I look for in my life, the little things that tell me that God is walking with me. He has favor, or he allows me to have favor from him because he does little things for me that allows me to capitalize on bigger things. It's like if you go to a store and you only got $25 and you go in there and a lot of things are on sale, you come out of there with about $50 worth of merchandise and stuff. Hey, but it only cost you about $20. That still left you $5.
Amen.
God has a way to bless you and a lot of people don't even realize that they're being blessed. They just take it for granted. Oh, I caught the sale. Boy, that was lucky. No, that was God. I won't
Amen.
Quit on that.
Amen. So we got all these people in our country on antidepressants, sleeping pills, all kind of pills, all kind of equipment to help us go to sleep, help us to be able to just deal with the situations around us. And Jesus is saying to us, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Don't be troubled or afraid. My Lord. But look at how troubled we are and how afraid we are. I think God is saying to us, just like Jesus said to his disciples, oh ye of little faith, have I been so long with you? And you still don't understand who I am. You know, I feel like God is saying that to many of us, and he's saying to us, it's time to be an example to somebody that I'm real. You know, if God is real, and we say that we believe in God, then we ought to act upon our faith every once in a while, to such an extent that we can be an example to somebody that God is real. Give God glory. Give God praise. We sing to God. We say we worship you. We praise you. We love you, God. And then when we have a trouble in our life or something comes into our life, then we worry. We start looking for every way to solve the problem other than giving it over to God. You know, I like so much what Brett said earlier in our conversation about what he can deal with, he would try to deal with, but what he can't, he turns it over to God. And I just wish that our hearers that are going to hear this would start trying to follow that and understanding that it's not easy because when we would do good, evil is always present. There's always a war going on inside of us. So we're not going to get it right all the time. We're not going to get it right probably most of the time. But we need to be striving to get it right some of the time. And if we have trouble in our lives and we're worried about everything all the time, then we need to really be checking ourselves and saying, God, help me to follow what you've told me to do. And Solomon is telling his sons that they ought to have sweet sleep and that they should not be worried and troubled about things. They should not be afraid. And God is saying that to us too. God
Amen.
Wants us to have an abundant life. You know, let's just look at John 10:7-16.
I have that as well.
Okay.
John 10:7-16 says, therefore Jesus said again. Anyway, just before that, it says Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. How far?
To 16.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, if hearing that, what does that say to us about our faith and our worry and our being afraid? We've got a good shepherd.
Amen.
That laid down his life for us.
Amen.
And that good That good shepherd wants us to have life to its fullest. And I believe that we are somehow minimizing what God has for us because we're worried about stuff all the time. I believe that it affects our relationships with other people and our relationship with God. But it pleases God for us to have faith. If we don't have faith, we can't please God. And yet we demonstrate daily that we have little faith. So for those that are listening, I think God is saying, hear me, see me, feel me, experience me. I'm here, and I'm with you. And that makes all the difference in the world as far
Amen.
As being able to get a good night's sleep, to know that the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God that has all power in God's hands, the God that loves you even when you're not lovable, is with you and cares about you and wants you to have life to its fullest. And he loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. And we can...
Amen.
And we sit up and worry about something somebody said to us about our hair not looking nice, or our dress not fitting right, or the way we walked in church, or what we said last 10, 15 years ago, or we got a bill, or we don't have steak. We don't have, I mean, we worry about stuff, and God said,
come on.
Hey, I got it. You know, and it's interesting, it says about hiring. I mean, we put our trust in people. We put our trust in things. And those things will abandon you. I mean, they'll, if you put your trust in your youth, you're going to get old. If you put your trust in a job, you might lose your job. You put your trust in your good looks, if you might have a figure eight right now, you're going to have a figure zero pretty soon. I mean, we put our trust in all these crazy things, and God is saying, put your trust in me.
Come on.
So, brother, Dr. Susie, what do you think about this John chapter 10, verse 7 through 16, that Jesus says that he's the good shepherd?
I love this Brett. I love this passage in the Bible, but I think the problem that most people have is that they have been taught by people who don't understand the Bible or what it's about, people that only go to church Easter Sunday or right before Christmas or something, they're not getting the correct message. And I've even ran into some ministers that don't understand what it is that God wants for us to be doing. You know, it's okay to say fear God, because in the Old Testament they talked about fearing God because he wanted you to give him reverence. But in the New Testament it talked about the love of God, the love of Jesus. And the thing is that he's saying here that he loves us so much that we don't have to worry about anything. And he used the parable about the shepherd and the flock to get us to understand that he's the one in charge of us. You don't have to worry about anything. He's not going to let you get too far out of line. He'll bring you back in. If you've had any experience whatsoever in attending church on a regular basis, once you get to the age that you think you know it all, and you get away from your parents, and you get away from the church, God has a way of reeling you back in. He'll bring you back home. Something is going to happen that will make you start thinking, man, I need to be praying about this. Maybe I need to go to church. Maybe I need to get back into what I was raised in, and then maybe these problems will clear up. And you find that once you get back into God's word, reading his word, going to Bible study, going to church, listening to the minister, opening your Bible when you're there, when he's preaching, you're going to find that your life will change, and it's going to change for the better. Because no shepherd allows his flock to go without being fed, watered, taken care of. He does it all. And that's what he's saying in this portion here.
Amen.
Amen.
And turn with me, somebody, to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Okay, I have it. If you don't have it, Brett, Matthew 11,
yeah.
28 through 30. You got it?
Yeah, this bread, I got it.
Okay.
It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Amen.
So what does this say to us? What does Jesus say as we look at the subject, grant me to have a good night's sleep?
Well, he's calling us. He says, come to me.
All right.
All that worry and burden. If you got problems, you can't sleep at night, he's saying, come to him, and he will give you rest.
Amen. Amen. So our listeners might be listening in, Dr. Susie, and they might say, well, how do I come to Jesus? How do I put my burdens on him? How do I find rest? Can you share?
For me, you know, I think that text is saying that, you know, in the context of what it was written is that that God was saying that there are all kind of things that are hidden to those who think they know it all, but yet for those who are open like little children, that God has the simple things to be revealed to them. And if we understand that it is through him that these things are to be revealed, and we have to believe in Jesus in order to know who God is. And so he's saying for those of us who want to be in that relationship to come to him. And many times for it says, for those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And the context sometimes is that we're burdened. And those burdens that we carry, those situations that we allow to be overwhelming, those things that plague us in the night that keep us from resting, if we fully understand that the text is saying if we come to the Lord, he will take care of that. He'll give us the rest that we need, because if we place the burden of yoke on him, understand who he is, then that's where we can find rest for our souls. Because if we believe in him, if we take on his yoke, it's just like a yoke is what they would put on the oxen to be able to plow. But if we put on Christ, then what he's saying is it's easy, and his burden is not heavy for us, that we can let go and let God. And so that helps us when we're in the process of struggling with whatever issues that may be burdening us. When we have accepted Christ in this relationship, there is rest for the weary. There is no need to carry those burdens, because Christ is doing the heavy part of the burden carrying, that the burden then becomes light, because he's going to take on the heavier part of the task, and his grace will be sufficient to make up the rest. Whatever we can't handle, you know, we trust in him, and he'll make it happen.
Amen.
He'll provide.
Amen.
And I think our listeners need to understand that because you give your life to Christ doesn't mean that people in the world, Satan won't stop trying to attack you. But what it's saying is, and God's word here, is that even though people try to attack you, and I think the stronger your faith gets in Christ, the more Satan tries to attack you in different ways. But you can have peace in Christ in the midst of a storm. And I think that is demonstrated so well in the story about Jesus in the boat and saying, peace be still, because Jesus was in the storm, in the boat, storming all around, but Jesus was asleep in the ship.
Come on.
So he didn't have to worry about a storm, because he's the master of a storm. He's the master of the sea. And that's the way it is in our lives, when storms can be going on all around us, but we can still find peace in Jesus. My peace I give you, not as the world can give you. The world can be storming all around you, but you can still find peace because your faith is not in the world, but it's in God. It's in Jesus. So even though we're living here right now, our citizenship is in heaven, and our spiritual connection is with God, and it means that we're different. We're not like the world.
Amen.
I mean, we have bodies. We hurt. We have needs. We have desires. But those desires and needs and wants and anger and whatnot should not prevail over the spiritual. So we got battles going on inside of us between the physical and the spiritual. And the spiritual ought to prevail over the physical. But we have to admit that we're going to have some battles. And we're going to have some hard times, but we can still find peace in the midst
Amen.
Of the storm. I like that Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world can give. So we should be drawn nigh to God because so God can draw nigh to us. And I'd like to just close by reading Psalm 23, 1-6. I have some other scriptures, but I see it's 804, Dr. Susie. Can we read Psalm 23?
We have time. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
Okay, well, then let's do John 14, 1-7, and then let's do Psalm 23, 1-6. John 14, 1-7, and then we'll
go
do Psalm 23, 1. Okay, John 14, 1-7 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." So
Amen.
Jesus is telling them that they should not be troubled because God has their back. In so many words, and God has already prepared a place for us, mansions. Because Jesus has prepared a way for us, we're going to be received by God. And that should relieve some of the concern. I talk to people all day long that are concerned about death and dying. And that's a big part of their concern. Sometimes people don't think about death and dying until they get sick. These people that I see all day long are sick. But many people don't realize they're sick and they're walking around like zombies and they think that they're healthy, but they're sick. But Jesus is saying you don't need to worry about that because I've already prepared a place for you. So, again, he's trying to relieve the worry of people and telling them that they should not be.
Yeah.
Should not be worrying, and we ought to be able to get a good night's sleep. And then we want to close with "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm 23, 1-6. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Are there any praise reports or prayer concerns for this evening? I would ask Dr. Nix if you would close with some prayer tonight, understanding that we need to lift up prayers for our country as we have had so much going on these days, so much hate and violence. And we also ask that you would lift up Dr. Edwards, Shawnette Brown, Martin Bryant, Lester Carver, Eric, who's not on the line tonight. in the Bible study. We've been doing this for 12 years, and we need to continue to just ask God, you know, what God's will is for us, and to look at, you know, if we want to continue this on through September. September will be the 13th year, and, you know, a long time.
Lord,
so we need to be in prayer, seeking if we, you know, should continue how God wants us to operate. So I ask for prayer and a job opportunity, that I would be obedient to wherever it is God would have me to go and to do. And just basically whatever it is God desires for my life, I'm wanting to be obedient to that and move in it. So, Brett, do you have any prayer concerns or praise reports?
I want to have you pray for my family. Some of the younger ones are going through some difficult times right now, just like you, Dr. Susie. They're looking for a job. I don't think they really know what they want, but I'm praying that God will show them the way and open up the doors for them, just like I pray for you.
Amen.
God, we bow before you tonight, and we're just grateful for your presence in our lives. And God, we're excited about you being with us, even in the midst of a storm. And we're grateful that you've got our back. Help us to have more faith. Help us to see you all around us, even when people are shooting darts at us and trying to kill us and destroy us. Help us to see that you're there and that you've got us in your hands. And God, help us to have peace, the peace that you've given us. Help us to claim it. Help us to claim the Holy Spirit that you've given us. Help us to claim the comfort that you've given us and the direction and teaching that you've given us. Help us to love one another, even as you love us. And God, we want to lift up to you in a special way our country. God, we are going through so many difficult times right now. And division all around, households split, people disagreeing with how we should proceed, people are emboldened to step out and display hatred. And yet there are people that are emboldened to say, no, you will not allow hatred to rule in this country. So give us strength, God, to show love in the midst of hatred. And God, we pray a special prayer for those that should be our representatives, that they might stand up and do what is pleasing in your sight. We pray a special prayer for Dr. Edwards, for Sean S. Brown, for Mark Bryant, Lester Carver, Eric Jefferson. We pray that you would comfort them, strengthen them. And we pray a special prayer for Dr. Susie, our leader. We pray for the job opportunity that you have for her, God. And we pray that she would walk in that deliverance that you have for her right now and that gifting that you have for her. And she's been gifted in so many ways. And we pray that she would use those gifts for the upbuilding of your kingdom. And God, we pray for Brett's family, especially some of the younger ones that are going through some difficult times right now. We pray for jobs to come their way, for them to be empowered and to be blessed and strengthened and directed. We pray for the Bible study, that we might be led by you, God. Somebody needs to hear a word from you. Somebody needs to hear what you have to say. Help us to be instruments for your word, to be your voice to somebody. Help us, God, to show and demonstrate faith that others might see you through us. Thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God, and we'll see you next week as we deal with the theme. Grant me the wisdom to treat people right. Grant me the wisdom
Amen.
To treat people right.
Amen.
Amen.